Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time, this evening, Tuesday, the 8th of June, 2010, with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening, and you can thank yourself for what you're going to learn. But first, the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T. P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com, and the studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. And the studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. 613-733-4324. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have several announcements here before we get into our core content for this evening. First off, if you email me tonight, because I think this is very important for you to read, some of the old literature from the past, whether it was 20 years ago or 100 years ago, whatever, in this field of research, this field of freedom, economic responsibility, political responsibility, self-sufficiency, stand on your own two feet, freedom, republic. Now, the reason I find this piece so interesting is I forgot I had it. I read it eons ago, it seems like, although it wasn't. 82, I believe it was, 1982. But it's a piece on indicting the Fed, as in the Federal Reserve. And it came out in 1982 because of a grand jury looking into the Fed. I think you ought to go back and read this older material. Because of this big new push right now, oh yeah, we're going to audit the Fed, not new. I've been talking about it before here on the broadcast for a few months now. But nothing's going to come of it. It's ignorant to think you can audit the Fed. You're not going to get anywhere. Remember, they even tried the IRS and the GAO and the Government Printing Office, the GPO. The GAO is the General Accounting Office, by the way. They even tried figuring out some of the basic protocols of internal spending, trying to audit the IRS, for instance. They found that they could not audit over 70% of the records because they were so incomplete. Okay? Documented fact from the floor of Congress. Okay? So, indicting the Fed, you need to go read this older material on the very topic. And look where this is coming back around again, all over again, this repeat, just like a lot of these hacks and hashes and infotainment specialists out there on the airwaves running their mouths. It's identical to what we saw in the early 90s, and it's all back around again. And it's going to bite the same groups, the same people, right in the ass all over again. And you're going to see a lot of the same mimics from the bad people, too. So that is why when we get into the core content of tonight's program, you'll understand that. So email me tonight. Just put indicting the Fed in your email if you like, indicting the Fed, tonight and tonight only, why this broadcast is new, Tuesday, the 8th of June, 2010, and I'll send you that PDF. It's a wonderful read. You need to read this. A wonderful book. Again, tonight only, Tuesday, the 8th of June, 2010. Email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com for that PDF booklet. And I'd like to share these older works with you in the audience as a thanks from us to you for tuning in live during the new broadcast, not as it's a repeat. I know some of you can't help that because of your shift work, and I accommodate that. But it's a thanks from us to you and a way for you to see kind of a different look and kind of have a look at as how we see things sometimes here when you may not understand, well, why is he against that, some of those Tea Party activities so much? Well, I told you point blank why I'm against some of them so much, because it's a ruse to get everybody with their mechanical flag-waving arm distracted and busy and chasing their tails for a bit while big things are put into action. So not in all cases, but the bulk of them. The Tea Party movement, as it started, probably would have been a good thing. It dates back years and years. It didn't start with Ron Paul at all. Do your research. And it's basically been undermined and subverted. It's no different than the umbrella conglomerate of political action committees registered in Washington, registered for tax status under the IRS, as the rest of them in there. Our country deserves better PAC, on and on and on. There's a group, a conglomerate, that's turned basically into a corporation of PACs, all registered, by the way, and it's kind of funny. They grovel and beg for their tax status from the IRS, which under law means that they are admitting to and recognizing the IRS's jurisdiction, yet many of these very PACs claim that the IRS is illegal, doesn't exist, blah, blah, blah. But they don't mind getting that tax-free status, do they, to take donations? Hypocritical, lying scum, a bunch of them. Anyway, that was my long announcement for the free book offer. Sorry. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. And the way you can support the Hour of the Time is going to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop, and there you'll see hundreds of MP3 broadcasts on an individual basis, huge amounts of topical series on given topics, whether that be survival, caching, the mystery schools, food storage, medical, psychopolitics, weather control, there in MP3 chunks and bundles, and DVD presentations. And most importantly, I'd like to bring up two this evening. Just because the gist of the programming, because what many of you are going to be facing in the near future, and that is the Michael Cremo's Extreme Human Antiquity DVD. I think a lot of you should get that. He's been one of our most requested guests after he's been on, you know, the air, to be back on again. The audience really has sent positive feedback to him and myself both. His research is wonderful. And where he went into it years ago to prove and show that there's this knowledge filtration going on in the universities and at the lower levels of education, but of course predominantly at the universities and in the corporations and in several arms of the government to actually stifle true anthropological or archaeological or historical research in several realms because they want to push the Darwinian theory. And the Darwinist theory, the socialist theory, the mystery school, the secret society ties, they're all easily proven, already done so on the Hour of the Time, is the agenda, the MO of what's pushed. And all the while they have to use this knowledge filtration to suppress true and real findings out there in these fields. So I suggest you get that DVD. It's from our fall 2009 Hour of the Time conference where he was the guest all day lecture, three DVD set. There again, a great way to support us and you get research material in your own hands and importantly as well is the first aid DVD. Now the emergency first aid DVD is based on the very military courses, 22 of them, that I personally and hundreds of others of us that were in leadership positions taught to mobilizing and war-bound troops on everything from treating a casualty to burns to major sucking chest wounds, laser burns, breakages, stoppages of breathing, on chemical attacks, on and on and on. A DVD produced by us here at Hour of the Time on all of these courses, and it's segmented and chaptered. So you can go right to courses. Once you've watched it several times in order, which is important, in order, in its entirety, And then as you need refreshers, you can go back via chapter markers to the titled classes and get right to where it may be quite helpful. Let me give you a brief rundown here. I'm pulling it up really quick here, and I think you'll like a lot of it. You have such things as clearing objects from throats, preventing shock, first aid for burns, first aid for heat injuries, first aid for frostbite, field and pressure dressings, tourniquets, open abdominal wounds, open chest wounds, how to nerve agents and chemical attacks, how to administer aid, apply dressing to open head wounds, splint fractures, transport casualties via one person, transport casualties with two men or an improvised litter, which is, you know, a gurney, a carrier, if you aren't familiar with litter. Perform mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, which is different than CPR, ladies and gentlemen. I find personally possibly mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to be a more commonly needed thing, actually. So it's really different. And also, of course, the main thing, the first one, is evaluate a casualty in all these courses. So that just gives you a small example of what's on this DVD, the Emergency First Aid DVD, via the website hourofthetime.com on the Hot Shop. You are going to need these skills, ladies and gentlemen, in the near future. Trust me. And it's not just for World War III, New World Order, declarations of martial law instances. I always tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Hour of the Time, unlike most of the others that almost pride themselves on being infotainment and carnies, we are solution-based programming. Okay, that's the only way to restore our republic. Teach you how to shoot, how to use weapons, how to store food, how to think critically, how to do research, how to analyze news on politics, economics, how to see trends, how to invest in silver, on and on and on. And I try to stress to you, don't look at this as always a worst-case scenario, the reason to have this knowledge. I've seen hundreds, if not thousands of people that take that mindset and let it root into their psyche. And they become a tool of the other side because they bury their head in the sand. Oh, my, we can't do anything. Oh, my, oh, woe is me. Everything is lost. Well, fine, be a coward and run and go hide. Just don't bother me. Don't email me. Stay out of the way. Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. That's a good saying to live by. And also, this will defend. Another good one to lead by. Okay? Now, the reason so much of this is important is you can see all around you, if you take just a small smattering and sampling of news in your city or county or state or independent organizations, all around you, due to fiscal irresponsibility, purposely sinking our country into debt further and farther at unheard of bounds and speeds now, especially purposeful, mind you, many so-called infrastructure social services are being cut, and that includes a lot of your emergency response units, whether that be your local ambulance service, a paramedic crew, hospital paramedics, ambulance services, firemen, volunteer departments are being cut severely. And in a lot of ways, I find it good. In fact, in the bulk of ways, I find it good. It's not the state's problem, nor duty, nor constitutional authority to babysit you. It's your job to babysit yourself. So in this field of like medical knowledge, for instance, it's your duty to do all the stabilization, to know the basics, until you can get that person to a professional. Now, whether that be more professional services, just being in a more controlled environment from the local riverbank or park where you were out having fun and got hurt, till you got home to use your herbal remedies, or whether it's to a doctor or a surgeon or emergency room, but it is your job. And at that point, then you pay the professionals to do their line of work, if that's your choosing, if that's the route you want to go. So you will be, not just because of idiots and agent provocateurs and domestic terrorists, which millions of us have taken oaths to defend the Constitution against, and we're doing it, whether it's any of these situations, or Katrina's, or forest fires, or earthquakes. It doesn't have to be so extreme. It can be everyday life, ladies and gentlemen. When you're faced with these problems, you need to have these skills. Because a lot of the stuff that people typically relied on in these socialist handout programs from Central State Planning, Metro, and we need to redo that broadcast. I did that a long time ago, 1313. We need to redo that because a lot of you, I think, will learn a lot from that, especially in light of today's events. But anyway, you're going to need to be able to do these skills because the services, fiscally, manpower-wise, infrastructure-wise, are just not there anymore. And the morale level in society of helping your neighbor, helping out a fellow church member, a community member, is not there as well. So you need to be, until we totally reestablish our constitutional republic, intelligence, freedom, morals, until this is reestablished, you are going to have to be able to stand on your own two feet a lot more. Okay? Hence, when we get into the topic tonight, you'll know why it's so important. But don't forget that. The Hot Club discs are all out for May as of today. The last of them, I've been chipping away at them. I've been really tied up lately with speaking engagements. We've got a huge seminar with several property rights doctors, microeconomics doctors, people who've helped us with the jurisdiction issues at the state level and at the federal level and the court system. We're doing a huge symposium this week, and it's making me quite busy as last week. So I had to do just a few of the discs a day, a smattering here and there. The two disc thing, that's out the window that I was telling everybody. I'm not reneging on any of the content. It's just that I am saving it in a different way than I had planned at the initial announcements of the new Hot Club. So it's just all on one disc. That's the only difference. All the same contents there. The materials from that month's programming. So for instance, you're the Hot Club in May. You get all the audio broadcasts that were streamed in our prime time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time slot. And you get the supporting materials for broadcast, the book offers like tonight's offer, Indicting the Fed, all on one disc instead of two. That's the only difference. But I want to let you know that ahead of time because I know someone will open their envelope and before they even check the disc will email me squawking that I shorted them or something. The medical people, as in the people who ordered medical supplies, please email me with a shipping address you'd like me to use. Just email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com so I can get those off to you. And now we're going to go to a musical break. Get your pens, papers, and all that because the other announcements and the core content of tonight's material, I want you to really put to notes. They're not just passing type announcements, okay? So be ready to take notes after this musical break. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Again, the website, hourofthetime.com. The studio in Arizona, 928-333-2942. The studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. And my personal email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, don't forget to email me directly for Indicting the Fed, a great piece from, I think it was 82 when I first read it. Anyway, I found it in my, I have a massive amount of archives in printed form and been getting these transferred to scans. And this is one of those. I thought, this is appropriate for all the moves we're seeing going on today. I think you'll find it an interesting read. Now, there's been a few questions come up. We have taught at the conferences the proven fact that a large portion of the gas mask and canisters, etc. out there purported to be good, perfect condition, military surplus, purported to protect you from NBC, nuclear, biological, and chemical. We've taught at the conferences with illustrations and model numbers and years and all that, that many of them are not only, or actually the bulk of them out there, are not only completely useless for protection, but many of them outright give off toxic fumes. The canisters are decomposing upon themselves. So just putting them on, trying them on for proper fit, playing with them, whatever you're doing with it, you're inhaling toxic fumes, and you're not even in an NBC environment. So we told you that, and then we show you the safe mask to get, where to get filters, etc., and some recent questions that come up since people that have attended the conference, and good for them, have learned this material. They're trying to make friends and other people around them aware of this same information, like we challenge you to do. And some of the inquiries they've gotten I want to address real quickly. They've been asked things like, could we take the filters apart and change them? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? Proper filters and proper mask are inexpensive enough to avoid tearing apart a toxic filter, an antiquated filter that no longer has any ability to even stop tear gas, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, let alone any of the really bad stuff. Tearing it apart, thinking you can repack it with some kind of new material to refurbish it, is absolute crazy insanity. Not only will you never get it back, and I guess if you own a full machine shop manufacturing facility, you might put the canister back where every seam and seal is perfectly tight and everything is in perfect alignment. But I highly doubt most people are capable of doing that. So do not try to refurbish known bad filters and make them good. Chalk it up to lack of research, lack of information, inexperience, whatever, that you got this bad stuff. And move on. That's it. Maybe take the mask, the filter part off your delinquent mask, your non-effective mask, and use it as a movie prop for a home movie or a Halloween mask or whatever. But don't try to refurbish it and use it for real stuff. If you think breathing isn't important and that saving $4 or $5 is more important than breathing, then you may already be defeated. And that's not really a question. I already know the answer. So don't try that. I just want to address that to everybody. I've gotten those questions. They're good questions. I'm glad to see that the conference attendees are out there sharing the research like they're supposed to after the conference with those around them. But there's my feedback. Don't do it. Absolutely don't do it. Okay. Now, there's a lot of crap gas mask out there, if you're unaware of that. And if that would be of interest to you on an audio program, I could do that. Okay? To those of you who maybe would like that course, if you'd like to know where to, summarized, really abbreviated for the air, I could do that to a certain extent on the broadcast here this week if you'd like. If that's something you'd like, model numbers that are bad, sources that are selling them that are bad, the years and makes of the filters that are bad, and where the good ones are, then email me again at hourofthetime@hotmail.com and tell me you would like to hear that programming, and I could fit that in this week. Okay? But if not, I'm going to move on because I have other plans. Now, that all that said, also a common endeavor, having just been in the field a couple times with newbies out there and out on my own venture this last weekend with Herbalife on a kind of a three-day venture up in the Mangus and Dattle mountain ranges and the Sawtooth mountain ranges, which, mind you, were all right around us. It wasn't like a big fancy trip. It was me driving to them and then taking off into the woods. Mosquitoes, based on the time of year, the diseases they carry, West Nile, etc. So you want to avoid these bites. Maybe they're just outright inconvenient. But a lot of you might be leery of many of the chemical side effects of commercial mosquito repellent or oil or bug repellent. And there's been a lot of them. Picaridin. Another one is methylbenzamide, known as DEET, D-E-E-T. DEET was invented in World War II. Many people have experienced severe skin rashes, eye problems, everything with these. And many of the tests also before most of these products were pulled, but see, they're not outright pulled completely. They're still out there widely available. Okay? A lot of them are in concentrations that are extremely high. If the testing to prove that a lot of them were harsh on your skin, bad for your eyes and all that, all the places it's going to get when you're putting it on your body out somewhere, we're only tested at 20% concentration. So, and a lot of you wisely try to do your own healing and herbs and preventative treatments. So here are just some quick snippets of some ideas that you can do at home yourself to help with mosquito and bug bites. Catnip oil. Okay. Undiluted catnip oil provides about 2 hours of protection when applied directly to the skin. In fact, in 2001, catnip oil was shown to repel mosquitoes 10 times better than DEET, the chemical standby since World War II. Okay? And depending on the course, the species of mosquito, up to 4 hours it lasted. Okay? Now, the chemical or active ingredient in the catnip oil is what causes this. Okay? I would suggest, because it can cause some slight skin irritations to those who are very, very sensitive, do the patch test. A real good place is the inside of your wrist, okay? That's where you typically would check a pulse. Very sensitive skin area right there. Just put a little dab there. See if it irritates you, okay? That's, a lot more sensitive than your hands or the back of your hands or your back of your neck. It's abused and exposed to weather so much more. So that's a patch test. Okay, there's one solution. Lemon oil is another one, okay? That's a very powerful insect repellent. It can be added to coconut oil in a 10 to 30% concentration. It shows high protection against bites of mosquitoes. Clove oil, okay? It can be irritating to the skin as well, unless diluted. 10 to 30% is a good recommendation, but to be totally safe, stay below 20, okay? Again, It can be added to olive oil or coconut oil as a medium per se to apply it. And also this may be a soothing effect as well. Neem oil. It's been called the village pharmacy sometimes. It contains properties and active ingredients which are known insecticides. It's an antiseptic, it's an antifungal, it's an antiviral. So those are all good things. It comes from a tree, the neem oil. So don't forget catnip oil, lemon oil, clove oil, and neem oil. There's some natural solutions for you to protect against bug bites, mosquito bites, etc. And people have often asked, when I'm out and about, I tell them, oh yeah, I got my tea and my mug here, or let me go get my jug before the speaking engagement. And luckily, we recently got resupplied, because a lot of the last supply got bogarted, which is okay, by somebody I know. It's a good tea. It's a green tea. There's different ones. I would suggest going to the site, mygreenteabenefits.com. I think you'll find those products to be very good. They taste good. They're nice. I got some made up right now in my mug for drinking during this broadcast and all day. It's great when out working. And I mix and match. I don't like to always just drink green tea or always just red raspberry leaf tea. I mix and match them. Yesterday I had kind of a coconutty tea that was based on peppermint, spearmint leaves, and then some coconut oils added. But this green tea, go to mygreenteabenefits.com, mygreenteabenefits.com, and you'll see a lot of neat stuff there. I know you can trust them. They'll ship to you. They're prompt, and you can contact them and actually speak to someone. It's something great. As in, not a form letter. You'll actually get a response to your question. Now, after this short musical break, we're going to get into tonight's core programming, evaluating a casualty. Now, I just recently had to use this again. It's kind of funny because it seems like I'm being tested every direction lately. And so far, I've been passing pretty well. Ready to roll is a good example. Some burn treatments I had to do just recently as well on the skin. Some health remedies out and about, away from anything, and had to do right now that helped really greatly. Some shooting and weapons techniques I had to use recently that worked very well. And this evaluating casualty to help someone that was in need recently. And I came to the solution quite quickly with this proper course, doing it step by step in order, and helped this person move right along. And they were just fine the next day once we pinpointed the issue. I don't know what all these tests are about lately. I don't believe in fate or luck. So the Lord is testing me right now, for whatever reason, and it's up to him, so I'll let him guide me. But it's been an interesting adventure the last couple weeks. So, and on top of it, the day before Memorial Day, quitting smoking as well, so that was a test in and of itself, and to this point, still clear. So that's a good thing. Again, getting away all the caffeine, the coffee, and the black teas and stuff about a month ago, and just making up my mind that, like all of you, I hope, are looking at yourself too, and those of your family, those that you love around you, and talking about it in your groups, whether that's your neighborhood group or your church groups or your militias or what have you. What are ways to improve your health that you can do easily or fairly easily? There might be a little stress or strain somewhere involved, but that you can do, though, that you can facilitate to make yourself less dependent on a lot of side stuff. So as things get worse, you're less apt to be wanting to buy that cup of Starbucks coffee because you just have to have it or whatever, and get move on to the things that are important and essential. So the quitting smoking thing occurred walking out of a train station the day before Memorial Day, dropping someone off. And These absolute crackhead derelicts walked up because they seen me smoking, wanting to bum a smoke. And I think it bothered the people with me that I just so openly talked to them, first off. Because these were total derelicts. I think it might have put a little fear into them. I wasn't scared because I could snap every one of them in just a few seconds and half. But I said, yeah, her. And then they wanted, oh, can you give me another one? I said, no, you got enough. You already had your damn hand out. But walking away, thinking about their nasty-ass hair, their nasty-ass pants down to their knees, their demeanor, the dereliction. And then they approached me because they saw that association. I said, this is stupid. So I quit right then after 24 years. So that's how I quit. But anyway, short musical break here, and I want to go into evaluating casualty. Now, all these little tidbits about gas masks and oils for preventatives and green teas, I hope you've been taking notes, and especially take notes on this just because there's a few more details involved. Ladies and gentlemen, now some caveats here when you evaluate a casualty, okay? It's important to follow the major steps and identify all the injuries and conditions, okay? Immobilize. Here's an important warning. Immobilize the casualty if a neck or back injury is suspected, okay? Don't move the casualty unless it's just outright to save their life, as in there's an explosion right now about to happen. Well, then it's worth the risk, okay? But otherwise, don't, okay? Follow them in order, and this evaluated casualty will help you determine what problems are with this victim. You may not have seen the accident occur. Maybe you did, but they fell all goofy like a wet noodle off of a 20-foot drop. You don't know what all happened when they bounced. So this helps you determine. Now, another note, if there's any signs of chemical or biological poisoning. You know, of course, immediately mask the person. If it's not a nerve agent, decontaminate exposed skin and gross contamination. That's large, wet, and oily spots immediately, you know, of the clothing and overgarments. Now, of course, if it's a nerve agent, you need to apply the decontamination, the antidote first before decontaminating. Okay? But first, you check for responsiveness on this person. We're going to call this casualty. That's what we'll use throughout the whole thing. Ask in a loud but calm voice, are you okay? Loud but calm voice. Gently shake or tap the casualty on the shoulder. Now, watch for a response, okay? If the casualty does not respond, we'll move to the next step. If the casualty is conscious, ask where the casualty feels different than usual and where it hurts. And then you'll move on to a different step. But if they're conscious, move on. If not, go to this next step, which is check for breathing, step two. So one, check for responsiveness. Ask in a loud but calm voice, are you okay? That'll be good for your notes. Two, check for breathing. Look for a rise and fall of the casualty's chest. You can also listen for breathing by placing your ear about an inch above the casualty's mouth and nose. Feel for breathing by placing your hand, or better yet, cheek, because it's more sensitive, and that's facial cheek, about an inch again from the casualty's mouth and nose area. Your cheek is very sensitive, like you notice in a cool breeze probably out walking. More so than your hand. But, you know, do your hand first if you're really worried about getting thrown up on in just the next second or two. Okay? Now, if this casualty is not breathing, you need to move on to mouth-to-mouth resuscitation right now. You stop the evaluation and move to mouth-to-mouth resuscitation now. Okay? Now, if they were breathing when you first check for responsiveness, or they are breathing now that you've checked for breathing, you go on to three, check for bleeding. Now, as a strong warning here, do not, in a chemically contaminated area, nervines, biologicals, chemicals, I don't care, expose the wounds to the chemicals, as in don't start ripping off clothing. Now, checking for bleeding. You want to look for spurts of blood or blood-soaked clothes. Look for entry and exit wounds. If bleeding is present, stop the evaluation and begin treatment immediately. Now, these are all in order on purpose. Responsiveness, breathing, bleeding, shock, fractures. Excuse me, about gag myself here trying to drink and talk at the same time. Fractures, burns, head injury. That order is important because what it does is it lets you discover the most critical life or death circumstances early in the evaluation and begin treatment. And if it isn't there, then you move on to the next step and the next step and the next step on down the line. So our third one, check for bleeding. Again, look for spurts of blood or blood-soaked clothing. Look for entry and exit wounds. If there's bleeding present, immediately stop the evaluation and begin treatment. Now, you notice breathing was first because breathing is more critical, actually. Now, depending on where the bleeding was at, you would go on to different treatments. If it's an arm or leg wound, you would go to how to put on a field or pressure dressing. If it's a partial or complete amputation, you would go to putting on a tourniquet. If it's an open head wound, you would go to how to apply a dressing to an open head wound. If it's an open abdominal wound, You apply a dressing to that, an open abdominal wound. And if it's an open chest wound, go there to that course, open chest wound, applying a dressing to it. So depending on the area of the body, that's the next course you do if you discover bleeding. Next, check for shock, the fourth one. Remember, responsiveness, breathing, bleeding. You have to remember these in order, okay, ladies and gentlemen. It's very important. Shock, fractures, burns, head injuries, okay? Very important. Check for shock. Here are the signs that you want to look for, or symptoms, if you will. Sweaty but cool skin. Clammy skin, it's sometimes called. You've heard that expression, I'm sure. Paleness of the skin. Restlessness or nervousness. Shock will make you, ladies and gentlemen, act goofy, if you've ever seen anybody in shock. Thirst. Confusion. Faster than normal breathing rate. Blotchy or bluish skin, especially around the mouth. And nausea or vomiting. So again, under the fourth step of evaluate a casualty, check for shock. Here are the items to look for. Sweaty but cool skin or clammy skin. Paleness of the skin. Restlessness or nervousness. Thirst. Loss of blood or bleeding. Confusion. Faster than normal breathing rate. Blotchy or bluish skin, especially around the mouth area. And nausea and or vomiting. Now, if any of these signs exist, at this point, you would go to preventing shock. And that's a whole class in and of itself. Okay? Stop the evaluation and begin treatment at this point. So you see why this is in a very important logical order. One, checking responsiveness. Two, breathing. Three, bleeding. Four, shock. And each time if you discover that particular item, you immediately begin treatment for that and then move on. Okay? Next, checking for fractures. First, you need to look for signs or symptoms of a back or neck injury. The pain or tenderness of the neck and back area. Okay? Pain or tenderness of the neck or back area. Cuts or bruises in the neck or back area. The inability of a casualty to move. Paralysis, that indicates paralysis or numbness, okay? So you're going to want to ask about the ability to move, and touch the casualty's arms and legs and ask whether he or she can feel your hand. Is there a numbness present? See? Unusual body or limb position. Okay? Now, you know, if the knee or the leg is bent the other way, it's a pretty good indication there's a break or fracture there. Okay? And I mean, you laugh, but people skip some of these obvious things. Again, unless there's immediate, for sure, life-threatening danger, you're just about to get shot, here comes a cloud of nerve agent, here comes a huge explosion, do not move the casualty who you suspect to have a back or neck injury. Okay? Now, if they do, or if you suspect them of having a neck or back injury, you need to do the following. Tell them not to move. Okay? If they're conscious. Now, if a back injury is suspected, place padding under the natural arch of the casualty's back. When anybody lays down, they have a little natural arch to their back. Okay? You need to put padding under there, under that natural arch. We're not wanting to create an arch, but we're not wanting to leave an unsupported void either. Okay? Now, if a neck injury is suspected, place a roll of cloth under the casualty's neck. This could be a towel, a rolled up jacket, a shirt, whatever. Again, you're not trying to wedge it up in the air. You're just wanting to not leave an unsupported void underneath the neck. Okay? And then put rocks or boots on both sides of their head so that their head will not move side to side. Now, I don't mean get a bunch of little gravel from a driveway and start making a pile. Put two big old rocks next to each side. Just enough. They don't need to be boulders to keep their head from moving. And don't rush and try to smash their head in with the rocks either. Okay? Don't throw them from across the street and try to aim at the side of their head. People have done bizarre stuff. Okay? So I'm just giving you some ideas of things I've seen. The boots, the idea there was to put them on each side of their head because, of course, then there's a certain amount of padding even involved. Because the material of the boots, and you just put some rocks or dirt in them to keep them kind of weighted. And don't use your boots. Use theirs. They're already down for the count for right now. Don't make yourself in danger or immobile by taking off your boots, okay? Now, you want to check the casualty's arms and legs for open or closed fractures. Now, an open fracture is the kind where the bone protrudes. So you want to look for the bleeding or the bone sticking through the skin. Okay, these are sometimes quite nasty. A closed fracture is your typical just break, okay? It hasn't broken the skin. The bone is not sticking up and out of there. That's a closed fracture, so that one's last. And here you look for swelling, discoloration, deformity, unusual body position. Now, of course, if a fracture to an arm or leg is suspected, again, stop the evaluation at this point and begin treatment. And here you would go to splinting a suspected fracture. Okay, the next step. Now check for burns, number 6. Look carefully for reddened, blistered, or charred skin. And also check for singed clothes. And if burns are found, stop the evaluation immediately and begin treatment for first aid for burns. And there's different types. There's heat or thermal, chemical, and laser. So this one's pretty simple. Reddened, blistered, or charred skin. Also singed clothing. Don't forget that. That's a good telltale sign. And if the burns are found, start treatment now. Now head injury, number 7. In the order. Look for the following signs and symptoms. Unequal pupils of the eyes. Unequal. One's large, one's small. Fluid from the ears, nose, mouth, or injury site. Fluid. Slurred speech. Confusion. Sleepiness. Loss of memory or consciousness. They may be going in and out of consciousness. Staggering and walking. At this point, you've gone through all these steps. You're to head injury. Maybe the person's conscious. You found they were breathing. You jolted. You slightly shook their shoulder. You asked if they were okay. It made them wake up. You didn't find breathing problems. They answered you about, no, I don't feel any breaks there. They didn't have singed clothing. You've made it all the way here. Are they staggering when they walk? Do they say, man, I got a heck of a headache. Man, I'm dizzy. So look for dizziness and headaches. Look for vomiting. Look for paralysis. And look for convulsions or twitches. And of course, if a head injury is suspected, watch for signs that would require performance of your mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, treatment for shock, or control of bleeding. Okay, look for all those, and then seek medical aid is the last step. Now, if at all possible, immediately send, if you've got a partner or somebody with you or somebody in a crowd even, you can call upon, send them for medical aid immediately while you do all this. Okay, try not to go yourself. If at all possible, stay with the casualty or victim, constantly reassuring them that they're going to be okay. Don't act freaked out. Don't be screaming at them. Don't go, oh my God, you ought to see how big the bone is sticking out of your chest. Don't do stuff like that because you'll send them like instantly in the downward spiral. So again, really quickly, 1, check for responsiveness. 2, check for breathing. 3, check for bleeding. 4, check for shock. 5, check for fractures. 6, checks for burns. 7, check for head injury. And 8, seek medical aid. Now, ladies and gentlemen, all this in video, class by class, and every other class I mentioned are in detail on the Emergency First Aid DVD. A great way for you to learn this and support Hour of the Time at the same time. So I want to thank you for tuning in this evening. Your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, and hope everyone has a safe and a studious evening.